the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Kiss Your Life Hello with Dr. Vijaya Nair and Dr. Howard Piper. This program is all about relationships from love and family to health and business. It's a diverse world of alternative thinking as it applies to your daily life. Now it's time to kiss your life hello. So here are Drs. Nair and Piper.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Kiss Your Life Hello. This is Dr. Howard Piper, or as Dr. Vijay calls me, Dr. H, but it's really an H. And speaking of Dr. Vijay, she's not with us this morning. If you've listened to our shows before, she has an awesome book called Prevent Cancer, Heart Attack, Strokes, and Diabetes. So she's going on a little tour, actually starting this morning. She'll be gone for a couple of days, but she will be back next week. If you didn't get a chance to listen to our show last week, it's amazing the combination of taking the VitaCell internally and then also using Asia's Secret. It really, really does slow down the aging process. So if you get a chance, listen to that show last week, and then my show, I think we'll listen somewhere in the middle of May. So I have some news, some nutritional news. I just want to share something, too, because when Dr. Vijay and I talk about this little segment about nutritional news, this isn't just the stuff that comes out on the Internet, because everything can go on the Internet. These are actual facts that come from various magazines, and the one I'm going to read to you comes actually from Science Daily. Calcium supplements, too much of a good thing, and I've been talking about this for years, but listen to this. Negative health effects linked to taking too much supplemental calcium are on the rise, according to a commentary appearing in an upcoming issue of the Journal of American Society Nephrology. I mean, kidding. The incidence of the so-called milk alkali or calcium alkali syndrome is growing in large parts because of widespread use of over-the-counter calcium and vitamin D supplements. The milk alkali syndrome arose in the early 1900s when patients ingested abundant amounts of milk and antacids to control their ulcers. This practice increased individuals' risk of developing dangerously high levels of calcium in the blood, which could cause high blood pressure and even kidney failure. The incidence of the milk alkali syndrome declined when newer ulcer medications became available, but appears to be on the rise again thanks to increased use of the over-the-counter calcium and vitamin D supplements used mainly as preventive and treatment measures for osteoporosis. In many cases, patients with the syndrome require hospitalization. This is a doctor from the University of Pennsylvania School of Medicine recommended changing the name of the milk alkali syndrome to the calcium alkali syndrome because the condition is now associated with a large intake of calcium, not milk. Postmenopausal women, pregnant women, transplant recipients, patients with bulimia, and individuals who are on dialysis have the highest risk of developing the calcium alkali syndrome due to various physiological reasons. According to the authors, the intake should be no more than 1.2 to 1.5 grams per day. Calcium supplements taken in the recommended amounts are not only safe, but are quite beneficial. Boys and girls, for years, I've been screaming and yelling that we are taking too much calcium. The rule of thumb is anywhere between, and they say 1.5 grams, that would be 1,500 milligrams a day. Calcium needs magnesium, and calcium magnesium needs vitamin D3. Calcium magnesium and vitamin D3 need boron and silica. So it's not just a matter of just going out there and getting calcium. And most of the calcium supplements that are in a tablet form by themselves just go right through the system. They are not beneficial. There's a product called Nature's Path. They're out of Florida. They have a product called Calyte, C-A-L-L-Y-T-E. And they have a formula that has the perfect balance of the calcium magnesium that we need to take. So more is not better, and a lot of the doctors do not know very much about calcium unless they're reading in through the Internet or the pharmaceutical companies say, here, doc, you know, women need to take 2,000 to 3,000 milligrams of calcium. Please cut back on this. I know I'm probably one of the few people out there saying this, but I love this article from World Health Organization, which is called WHO, not the musical band WHO, but this is the World Health Organization, scandal exposed advisors received kickbacks from H1N1 vaccine manufacturers. A stunning new report reveals that top scientists who convinced the World Health Organization to declare H1N1 a global pandemic held close financial ties to the drug companies that profited from the sale of those vaccines. This report, published in the British Medical Journal, exposes the hidden ties that drove WHO, World Health Organization, to declare a pandemic resulting in billions of dollars in profits for vaccine manufacturers. Several key advisors who urged WHO to declare a pandemic received direct financial compensation from the very same vaccine manufacturers who received a windfall of profits from the pandemic announcement. During all this, WHO refused to disclose any conflict of interest between its top advisors and the drug companies who would financially benefit from the decision, and WHO somehow didn't think it was important to let the world know that it was receiving policy advice for individuals who stood to make millions of dollars when a pandemic was declared. Very, very quickly over here, I just want to read this section over here. The British Medical Journal isn't the only medical publication criticizing WHO for its poor handling of conflicts of interest. Another report from the Council of Europe Parliamentary Assembly, who also criticized WHO, saying, Parliamentary Assembly is alarmed about the way in which the H1N1 influenza pandemic has been handled not only by the World Health Organization, but also by the competent health authorities at the level of the European Union and at national level. Went on to explain that WHO's action led to a waste of large sums of public money and also unjustified scares and fears about health risks. So the bottom line, it says over here, they exaggerated the risk. WHO hypes up a pandemic risk by declaring a phase 6 pandemic even when the mortality rate of the virus was so low that it could be halted with simple vitamin D supplements. Hear that? Vitamin D supplements, okay, can be better than the H1N1 virus. WHO urged nations around the world to stockpile the vaccines, calling a public health emergency. Now we have to pay the government, or the government, our government's going to have to pay these manufacturers to get rid of these products that never were used in the first place. So the question is, where are they going to dump it? Okay, I'm getting off of my soapbox over here because I'm getting nosebleed. Anyways, I would love to introduce our first guest, actually, and our only guest for this morning. See, with Dr. Vijay over here talking, I get all excited because I have all the time. Okay. So, go ahead and gripe. That's what I'm doing right now. Why conscious complaining works and positive affirmations don't. How to complain consciously, 5 steps. Mad, stressed, in a mood? They say no one likes a whiner, but conscious complaining, giving voice to our struggles in a deliberate way, works wonders for our mental health, according to Carla McLaren in her new book, The Language of Emotions, What Your Feelings Are Trying to Tell You. Carla is an award-winning author, researcher, emphatic counselor, and she says that conscious complaining works precisely because it speaks to real feelings. It's healing. Not only is it a great way to de-steam, it can give you a clear idea of what's holding you back, instead of saying you can't be happy unless you complain. So, Carla, I want to complain. I'm feeling abandoned by Dr. Vijay. What do I do?
Well, abandonment. I would say that's sadness, right?
Yes.
I look at each of the emotions as bringing us information that we can't get in any other way and bringing us skills to deal with whatever it is that made us feel those emotions in the first place. So, with sadness, the gifts are release and relaxation and fluidity and revitalization. So if you can say, I feel abandoned, I'm sad, you can get in touch with what you're actually feeling. And when you do, generally, the feeling moves on quickly and then you feel happy afterward, which is funny because most people will ignore sadness or try to run from it, and then wonder why they're not happy. So I support you in saying that you feel abandoned.
Thank you. Now, several things, several reasons that I love your book. excuse me, I'm getting all choked up. You do not label I love the fact that you don't, oh, you're this way because you're codependent, or you're this way because of this, and you're this way because of that. You basically, you just state, you know, this is what's going on, these are the emotions, you know. And I love also the fact, number two reason, is that you turn these into a positive aspect. So I'm glad you said, oh, Howard, you shouldn't feel abandoned. You know, Dr. Vijay will be back.
So, yeah, I think for most of us, we learn that our emotions are something that we should avoid, except for the what I call the easy to please ones, the ones that make us useful to other people, like happiness or laughter or a little bit of sadness or a tiny bit of anger. But basically, we're asked not to have emotions or to calm ourselves and make them go away. And what I find is that that's not a very good way to manage them. That it certainly stops them, but it doesn't make us any more intelligent about what's going on when they're there. And what I've learned is that emotions, we feel them because they have something very specific to teach us. And so turning toward them, as I did throughout my career, helped me understand what they're for and why they happen.
Many years ago, when I was playing a lot of racquetball, I would get aggravated at myself, and I would go into the corner. If you ever played racquetball, it's within four, you know, in a small area. And
yeah.
I have a little mini temper tantrum, like maybe about 10, 15 seconds. I'd stomp on my feet like a little kid, and I'd be back, and I'd be, okay, I'm focused again. and you know, for me, I needed that. And the guys that I've played racquetball with all the years, you know, they acknowledge it. They allow me to do that. And then I would, you know, get my composure back, and I'd be able to play. But instead of, I don't know what's going on. What do you think?
Well, I think what I understand anger to be is a sign that there's been a boundary loss or loss of self-image, and so anger comes up to give you the strength to deal with that. And so that you don't, you know, you don't get crushed. And so I've played racquetball, and it's a pretty fast game. It's I like it because it's a little bit violent. You know, it's very fast-paced, and you're hitting things all the time. And but for many of us, sports are a place where we sort of unmask and show our strengths, so that if we miss a whole bunch of, you know, shots in a row, we tend to feel a loss of self-image, so anger comes up to help us get through that. And it's interesting that you're able to just go off and stomp your feet and be angry and then come back, which is good. It's better than just simmering and steaming and, you know, trying to smack people in the back of the head with the ball.
So I have an issue with my ego, in other words, huh?
Well, no, I don't think it's an issue so much as just, you know, when you're playing, your whole body, your whole sort of life is on the line in games, especially if you're competitive. So anger will come up and just help you manage that difficult situation, because competition is difficult.
Yes,
you know,
it is.
A lot of people don't want to do it.
Speaking of competition, we need to acknowledge our sponsors and love them and give them kisses and hugs. So we'll be right back.
Step into a healthier you. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Jiva Supplements proves that natural products can best be used in combination with mind-body therapies such as meditation, Reiki, reconnection energy, emotional freedom techniques, and other life-enhancing practices to provide you with all the vitality and joy you need to lead healthy, fulfilling, and joyous lives. You can read all about Dr. Vijaya Nair's work by visiting jivasupplements.org. That's J-I-V-A supplements.org. Or call 800-517-7606 for a free brochure and information. Dr. Nair's and Dr. Piper's books are available through Amazon.com, major bookstores, and health food stores. Nose and sinus issues? Wash the tissues. The new Neti NasoPure all-natural nasal wash system. Your nose is your body's personal filter, so clean all those irritants with NasoPure. A clean nose will improve your breathing, reduce ear, sinus, throat, and nasal problems. NasoPure will reduce your need for medication simply by washing your nose clean daily. If you're looking for the perfect Neti, NasoPure is safe, comfortable, and convenient. The natural way to keep you and your family healthy. Try Dr. Hanna's NasoPure. Just follow your nose to NasoPure.com or call 877-853-PURE.
Experience higher love, an archangelic journey into ascended joy and authentic living.
Your hosts, Sri Ram Ka and Kira Ra, will assist you to open your heart, expand your love, and be ever present with true joy.
Your journey with Sri and Kira begins right here on the Seventh Wave Network with Higher Love, Wednesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern.
This ain't your mama's brain and health show.
Tune in and get ready for entertainment and information about your mind and body that will really change your life. Primal Body, Primal Mind Radio is a sane departure from conventional thinking about diet, health, and the brain. Host Nora Gedgaudas will also combine humor and science to illuminate the mind and open your eyes to the principles of neurofeedback and diet, which can help you and your family live a better life. Primal Body, Primal Mind Radio airs live Wednesdays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to Kiss Your Life Hello with your hosts, Dr. Vijaya Nair and Dr. Howard Piper. To participate in this program, please call in toll-free at 1-866-472-5792. Again, that's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to info@kissyourlifehello.com. Now back to Kiss Your Life Hello.
Welcome back to our show with Dr. H and Carla McLaren. You know, it's interesting. I'm not that I'm paranoid, but it seems that every time Dr. Vijay and I talk about something that's controversial with what's going on with the world, that there's some sort of technical problem. So I don't know. Maybe I've watched too much of the X-Files. So Carla, there's this one section over here, if I may lead into it. It talks about leading with sadness and losing your way. And I, at the break, I was telling you that I really resonate with that one section, because being raised in a family where there was a lot of anger, a lot of yelling, a lot of screaming, that anger was not an option for me, because someone's going to get hurt like me. So I learned to go through life, you know, feeling sadness, not touching anger. Mm-hmm. When I did touch anger, I went all the way to rage. So mm-hmm. then I was really terrified of not even going there at all. So I stayed with hurt and sadness. And it's been, thank goodness, through therapy and recovery, that the fact that I can go to anger and feel it and share it with another person, or sometimes, you know, like what you have over here, you know, complain to the walls, to the furniture, to the trees and the skies, you know, which I've done. And then I can get to the sadness. Why are a lot of us just stuck in either sadness or just the opposite, that people are just loaded with anger and they're full of anger?
When I look at the emotions empathically, and that's how I got to this, I'm an empath, which means that I'm very sensitive to emotions and undercurrent and that sort of thing. And throughout my life, I was very sensitive to other people, but I thought, what about if I were to use my empathy on the emotions themselves, to go in and feel them and talk to them and figure out what's going on? What I found is that anger, and what I call the angers, I look at emotions not to simplify them, but there's mm-hmm. the angers, the fears, the sadnesses, the happinesses. Those are like the four categories. The angers set our boundaries for us. And you can do that violently by, you know, breaking other people's boundaries. Or you can do it with clarity by respecting other people. Or you can completely not do it. Like with people who just don't have any anger at all, and you could just walk over them. They don't set any boundaries with you. They don't have a strong self-image. So what I look for when I was working with people, what I looked for is, where are their boundaries? Do they have good access to their anger? And for people who were raised in very angry households, I noticed that generally they didn't lead with anger, which is what I want to see, some form of healthy anger, that there was more sadness going on. They were very soft, sort of grieving people. And I was really interested in that at first. What happened here? And what it looked to me, what appeared to me to be true was that because they saw anger being used so badly in their childhoods, mm-hmm. they sort of gave up on it. You know, they sort of said, well, that's not how we do things. And that strength of character that anger brings was turned instead to a kind of a swashbuckling refusal to be protected in the world. So they would sort of go out with sadness as their shield. And sadness is the emotion that helps us relax and let go of things and become very fluid and sort of internal. But the problem is that people who are not good with their anger or are not very honorable will attack people because they see that, you know, they're leading with sadness and they're not going to get hurt. So my work with them was to teach them how to work with healthy forms of anger and how to set boundaries around themselves, even visually, to imagine that they were surrounded by some kind of a field, you could call it an aura, but it's also it's created by the brain and the nervous system. It's called our proprioceptive area, and it's a sense that you have a right to exist in this space. You can take a place in the world, and your self-image tends to really perk up when you have the sense that you have rights in relationships and in the world. And for people who are raised in very angry families, that sense is something they have to learn later, as you found. You've kind of had to find out that you had a right to be angry and that you could do it differently than your dad did.
No, coming from the same family, there's anger, but there's also resentments. And I find this is really interesting because John Bradshaw, he and I did a book signing together one time, and then he was going to be on our show, but he had to do some traveling. Mm-hmm. And you have him stating that resentment is the strongest attachment. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Not love.
No.
Resentment.
Yeah, resentment, because with love, you can sort of go through your day and sometimes think of the person, but with resentment, you know, you just keep going back to them. You're like, oh, that guy, oh, that, oh. You know, it just keeps coming up. And it was through that saying of John Bradshaw's that I was able to understand hatred, because, you know, that's an ugly thing, hatred. It is, it's something that turns our world upside down. And I thought, how, you know, my premise is that emotions are necessary and that they're correct, but we need to learn how to work with them. But I kept coming back to hatred going, how can that be correct ever? That is, that's a rotten emotion. So hatred leads to, hatred of other people's religion, homophobia, sexism. It is not good. Or even xenophobia, you know, we're number one, we're Americans, so everybody else is, you know, meaningless. Or we're progressives, or we're liberals, or we're conservatives, so the other guy has to be evil. And you see a lot of that happening now, where people are just getting these terrible resentment places, where anything that comes from the mouth of the other person is considered wrong, you know, and evil. But what I began to understand with hatred, if it's the strongest attachment, why do we have to keep going back to this person or this group of people that makes us so angry and so, you know, full of rage and righteous indignation? What I understood was that our psyches were trying to get us to focus on this thing because it's important for us to do the shadow work with what it is that they are doing or having or saying that has fallen out of our psyches and it has to be reintegrated. So it's really funny when people get into this work and they start looking at their hatreds, and and they have to realize that it's not about the other person, it's about them. And so I have a work in the book about doing the shadow work to retrieve that shadow material from your hate partner, and then say hello to your lost self. And so after you do the shadow work, you know, you can look at previously hated groups and not get jacked up about them anymore. You can also grow as a human being. So hatred is one of my favorite emotions now, because it really gives you a chance to get intensely aware of yourself, to do, you know, kind of a split-second evolution into your next movement, so that you're not just some kind of idiot running around hating people who are different than you are.
Do you ever hear the expression, if you spot it, you got it?
He who smelt it, dealt it.
Let's not get personal now. Now, I have a question, because what is the difference between an emotion and a feeling? We have a couple minutes before a break, but the difference between an emotion and a feeling.
I am not sure. But I think we can have a feeling for things. You know, I think we know emotions are anger, shame, jealousy, confusion, fear. But the word feeling is kind of separate. I know there's a difference between emotions and moods, because an emotion should be sort of a momentary thing. When it stays around for too long, say in the case of a constant sadness or a despair, that would be a mood. Or a constant depression, that would be a mood. What I look for in emotions is that they, when they're healthy, they should move quickly and change, and help you figure out what's going on and then move on. If they don't, then that's when it's time to do some work with them. And sometimes that work involves, for instance, with anxiety or depression or rage disorders, that will involve going to visit your doctor and seeing if you can get some help there, because those three emotions can really disturb your endocrine system and your sleep and other forms of, you know, other parts of your health.
Well, it's interesting you're saying that before we go into a break. As a naturopathic doctor for years, we work on balancing the body and mind and spirit, so we don't just look at the certain condition, we do overall body work. And a lot of these chronic conditions, say like chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, even lupus, you know, which is an autoimmune disease, are contrived on an emotional level, which I really believe Louise Hayes talks about that too, the physical, the symptoms, the emotions, the problems. And it comes on an emotional level, and usually stress or unresolved issues. And in most cases, and you'll probably agree with this, it's that ugly word, resentment. They're just festering inside. And if we're not going to deal with this on a therapeutic way, on an emotional level, so whichever way, grieving is a great suggestion, it's going to come out on a physical level. So with that, let's do a sponsors again, and we'll be right back with Kiss Your Life Hello.
Steps to a Healthier You. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Nose and sinus issues? Wash the tissues. The new Neti NasoPure all-natural nasal wash system. Your nose is your body's personal filter, so clean all those irritants with NasoPure. A clean nose will improve your breathing, reduce ear, sinus, throat, and nasal problems. NasoPure will reduce your need for medication simply by washing your nose clean daily. If you're looking for the perfect Neti, NasoPure is safe, comfortable, and convenient. The natural way to keep you and your family healthy. Try Dr. Hanna's NasoPure. Just follow your nose to NasoPure.com or call 877-853-PURE. Jiva Supplements proves that natural products can best be used in combination with mind-body therapies such as meditation, Reiki, reconnection energy, emotional freedom techniques, and other life-enhancing practices to provide you with all the vitality and joy you need to lead healthy, fulfilling, and joyous lives. You can read all about Dr. Vijaya Nair's work by visiting jivasupplements.org. That's JIVASupplements.org. Or call 800-517-7606 for a free brochure and information. Dr. Nayer's and Dr. Piper's books are available through Amazon.com, major bookstores, and health food stores.
Are you ready to go green?
You've asked, and we've heard you. Voice America presents the Green Talk Network. Environmental topics are at the forefront of our society, and the Green Talk Network is here to keep you up to date on the latest trends and new innovations for the eco-conscious lifestyle. We'll help promote a variety of ideas on the environment, from global warming issues to how you can become more eco-friendly in your daily activities. Be a part of the solution, not the problem. Visit the Green Talk Network page on voiceamerica.com and tune in to help spread the green.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to Kiss Your Life Hello with your hosts, Dr. Vijaya Nair and Dr. Howard Piper. To participate in this program, please call in toll-free at 1-866-472-5792. Again, that's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to info@kissyourlifehello.com. Now back to Kiss Your Life Hello.
Well, welcome back to our show, Kiss Your Life Hello. This is Dr. H, and again, Dr. VJ has left me one more time. But I worked over my abandonment feelings with Carla. Carla, I want to read a quote in the back of your book, and then please tell our listeners, you know, how can you get this powerful book? Carla McLaren's unique, empathic view of emotions surprisingly revalues even the most negative emotions and open pathways to understanding the depths of the human soul. This is, you got a quote from Michael Mead, who I know, Michael, and that's a very, very powerful quote.
I love Michael Mead. He's so
how do we
wonderful.
Get your book? I mean, I have one, but you know, how do
I have one? Well, you can. It's published by Sounds True, and they've got a really good distribution network. So they've got it at every bookstore. You can grab it. It's also on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. You can get it through my website, CarlaMcLaren.com. But also, it is available in an audio format as CDs or MP3s. And next month, I think it's coming out on Kindle, so you can also get it as an ebook. You can get it every way you like.
Great. Now, we have listeners from all over the world because our show on VoiceAmerica.com goes all over the world. And mm-hmm. we have a lot of listeners that listen to, you know, Kiss Your Life Hello. So Amazon.com seems to be the most popular for people in different parts of the world, of course. So you probably get a lot of hits at Amazon.com.
Yeah, yeah.
So, my dear, some questions. Your book, The Language of Emotions, how is it different? You know, you have different techniques on dealing with or working through with these different emotions. How is it different than other therapists and other books that have been out there for years?
Well, I write this, and this was very hard for me to believe, but it's actually the first book to explain all of the emotions.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of what you can learn from them, what they're for, how you deal with them, and why they're there. And I was there's a counseling professor at the University of San Francisco who's using the book as a textbook because she hasn't found anything else that covers all of the emotions. And I said, what? Mm-hmm. You know, I haven't looked through every book that, you know, psychologists study, but honestly, there aren't books that explain all the emotions, and I think this says just so much about our rotten emotional education. We just don't get taught about emotions. I've been grabbing as many books as I can on emotions. I don't like to read too much when I'm writing because I don't want to be lifting other people's ideas, mm-hmm. but then I go and I just study to make sure that I've make sure that I've said things that are correct. But what I'm noticing is, you know, I'm especially getting stuff about how to teach kids about emotions. And what I find is that they're not teaching kids about emotions, they're teaching kids about behavior.
Right.
So they say, okay, you don't want to stomp and yell, and you don't want to hit your sister, and you don't want to kick and bite, but they never say why you have anger in the first place. So when a child learns about emotions, they learn what you don't do. And so they have a lot of rules on top of that emotion, but they don't learn why they have it in the first place. And this goes on throughout our lives. So now that I'm, you know, sort of looking around and just checking to see if this professor at the University of San Francisco is right, she is. There are not books that teach you what your emotions are for and why. And that's crazy. That's crazy. I don't treat emotions as diseases that need to be cured and things that need to be sent away. Because even when our emotions are completely out of control, it's not the emotion that needs to be cured. It's whatever imbalance is going on needs to be fixed so that the emotion can get back to its regular work, because we need all of our emotions for everything we do. And they're a really crucial part of our intelligence and our rationality and our logic.
Carla, I want to interrupt you for a second. Repeat what you said at the beginning, because you said a very, very powerful statement right at the beginning of when you were talking about the emotions.
What did I say?
You don't remember. You weren't listening. So you talked about that it's not learning to let go of the emotions.
Yeah.
It's pretty much acknowledge them. Because when we go to a therapist, okay, let's deal with the anger. Let's deal with the sadness. Okay, now you've let go of it. Now you're in acceptance. Now you can go and skip down the road of happy destiny or whatever you want. You're saying over here is to acknowledge them and know that they're there.
Yeah, and that they need to be there. So
correct.
No matter how many times you work with your anger, and let's say you've learned to suppress it and breathe in joy or whatever, you know, breathe in joy, breathe out anger. Your anger will say to you, okay, that's interesting, but how are you going to set your boundaries next time? So everything we do to get rid of emotions is going to fail, because they're supposed to be there. They are necessary. I think neuroscientist Antonio Damasio wrote a book called Descartes' Error.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Descartes was the one who said, I think, therefore I am. And mm-hmm. he was kind of at the spearhead of saying that rationality and emotions are opposite things, that they're separate, and that if you have emotions, you can't possibly be rational. As it turns out, Descartes was wrong, because what Dr. Damasio found is that when people had their emotional parts of their brain separated out, either through damage or illness or surgery, they could not make decisions at all. So he talks about a man in his office, and he says to the man, do you want to come on next Tuesday or next Friday? And he sat there for 20 minutes and watched the man talk about all the different ways that Tuesday and Friday were different, and he couldn't make a decision. So finally, after 20 minutes, Dr. Damasio said, how about if you come in on Friday? The man said, oh, sure.
Yeah.
But he was unable to value Tuesday or Friday differently because he couldn't bring his emotions to the situation. And I thought that was amazing, that you can't be intelligent. You can't make decisions without your emotions.
Ha. You mentioned earlier, too, you know, you mentioned the word shadow. And there are a lot of books written in the 60s and 70s about the shadow. You know, we all have a shadow. You know, there was a program called The Dark Shadows on television. It was a soap opera type of thing. But,
yeah.
You know, you mentioned the word shadow. Explain a little about the shadow, because I like the fact that you talk about this. I know about it, but there are a lot of people say, shadow, you know, what kind of shadow?
What's the shadow?
Yeah.
I think some of my favorite books are by the Jungians, Robert Johnson, and Robert Bly did some wonderful work on the shadow.
Right.
Basically, the shadow is a collection of things that we say that we're not. So there's also a bright shadow. Those are good things that we say we're not. So I hear a lot of people say, oh, I'm not artistic. I'm not musical. Or we have people say, well, I'm not an angry person. I would never hurt anybody. What goes in the shadow? What goes in the shadow separates our abilities and our excuse me. It separates our abilities and our awareness from ourselves. So So you and I, we're humans, we're capable of anything. We can be as rotten or as wonderful as anybody else, but as we grow, we knock some of these things off. And as it goes into our shadow, it doesn't go away. What I find with hatred specifically, which is the shadow emotion, is that when we find someone that we hate, we found our shadow. Not just dislike, because we can dislike anybody. But if we look at, you know, an actor or a musician or a sports figure and we hate them, we found our shadow. And so I teach people to do shadow work, which I learned in those books that were written in, I think, the 80s. Mm-hmm. And it's wonderful because it takes that, you know, that vicious emotion, and what hatred does is it brings you enough energy and strength to be able to look at this part of yourself that you've completely banished. So hatred is always about you. It's sometimes about the other person, too, because, you know, you're right. They are whatever they are. But it's about you. And the shadow work is, I think, some of the most fun. That sounds strange, but it is fun. It's like, oh, my goodness, I'm hating on somebody. What work do I have to do right now? It makes you have a sense of humor about yourself and your anger instead of, you know, feeling like you have a right to go out and rail on somebody just because you
hate. It's interesting that for a lot of us, we do not acknowledge the dark side, quote-unquote, the shadow, whatever you want to call it, and yet there's yin and yang, male and female, acknowledge it, whether we're female, acknowledge the male side, we're male, you know, acknowledge the female side. For some reason, there seems to be this fear of looking at that. Scott Peck wrote a book, People of the Lie.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And I identified from the first word of the book to the last word of the book. It amazed me because, you know, I'm this very spiritual person. I don't get angry. I just let go, and I love people. Yet why don't I go over to that and say, okay, Howard, you have this dark side. Acknowledge it. And when I've learned to do that, and it was a great example of what you said before, okay, I'm angry. I hate that person. Okay, you acknowledge you hate that person. You know, what's the reason? And da-da-da-da-da. Oh, you see it in yourself. Again, if you spot it, you got it type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's finding that balance. It was so, so important.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, my husband and I used to, there at Trader Joe's, you have them? Yeah, you have them there.
Mm-hmm.
At Trader Joe's, they had these little people-shaped chips. Little, I don't know what they were, but they were like little cheese puffs shaped like people. And so sometimes we would eat our shadow. That's one of the things that, that Robert Bly suggests you do is eat your shadow. So we would take these and we would say, okay, here's, you know, President Bush, I'm eating you or something when we were particularly upset with him. And I think people today, instead of, I don't know, getting into tea parties and so forth, might want to eat President Obama in a little cracker shape or something. But to bring that into yourself makes you more able to be a humane and spiritual person if you can ingest your dark side.
Right. So let's do another commercial break because I have still a gazillion more questions to talk to you. I love talking about this. And we'll be right back with Kiss Your Life Hello.
Thanks.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Jiva Supplements proves that natural products can best be used in combination with mind-body therapies such as meditation, Reiki, reconnection energy, emotional freedom techniques, and other life-enhancing practices to provide you with all the vitality and joy you need to lead healthy, fulfilling, and joyous lives. You can read all about Dr. Vijaya Nair's work by visiting jivasupplements.org. That's J-I-V-A supplements.org. Or call 800-517-7606 for a free brochure and information. Dr. Nair's and Dr. Piper's books are available through Amazon.com, major bookstores, and health food stores. Nose and sinus issues? Wash the tissues. The new Neti NasoPure all-natural nasal wash system. Your nose is your body's personal filter, so clean all those irritants with NasoPure. A clean nose will improve your breathing, reduce ear, sinus, throat, and nasal problems. NasoPure will reduce your need for medication simply by washing your nose clean daily. If you're looking for the perfect Neti, NasoPure is safe, comfortable, and convenient. The natural way to keep you and your family healthy. Try Dr. Hanna's NasoPure. Just follow your nose to NasoPure.com. Or call 877-853-PURE.
Experience higher love, an archangelic journey into ascended joy and authentic living.
Your hosts, Sri Ram Ka and Kira Ra, will assist you to open your heart, expand your love, and be ever present with true joy.
Your journey with Sri and Kira begins right here on the Seventh Wave Network with Higher Love, Wednesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to Kiss Your Life Hello with your hosts, Dr. Vijaya Nair and Dr. Howard Piper. To participate in this program, please call in toll-free at 1-866-472-5792. Again, that's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to info@kissyourlifehello.com. Now back to Kiss Your Life Hello.
Welcome back with Dr. H and Carla McLaren. Carla, I just want to read this one thing. It says, in the language of emotions, which is your book, mm-hmm. Carla suggests a radical new perspective that all of our emotions, even those labeled bad, and I've had a lot of them labeled bad by a lot of people, are equally important messengers ready to assist us in acting with full awareness and integrity. By honoring our emotions, instead of overreacting or repressing them, each one becomes a powerhouse of energy, information, and often healing. So tell me how to get the book, and then I have a question.
The book is available everywhere, everywhere that books are sold. It's also available as an audio learning set in CDs. It's 7.5 hours, and you can get that as an MP3, and next month it will be available as a Kindle on Amazon.
That's great. That's great. So I have the question. I'm always telling everybody that I love them at the end of our show, and I say this to a lot of people because I'm a believer that why wait till tomorrow to say that you love a person because they may not be there tomorrow.
Yeah.
So the question is why do you say that love is not an emotion?
Looking at all of the emotions throughout my life, I've studied them and tried to figure out what they are. And I kept going back to love because people treat it as if it's an emotion. And so I would, sort of empathically focus on love, and I couldn't get anything that was like an emotion from love because when an emotion's healthy, it comes up when it's needed, and it shifts and changes, and then it goes away once it's addressed an issue. But when love is healthy, it doesn't do that. It doesn't shift and change, and it doesn't go away. And then if emotions come up over and over and over again, or and they appear with the exact same intensity every single time they come up, then I know something's wrong because this emotion isn't being listened to, and it's not being worked with. But love should repeat itself endlessly and come up with the exact same intensity. I see them as really, really separate things. I put love in its own category. I don't see it as an emotion. I don't see it that it behaves in the way that emotions do or that emotions should. What's interesting to me is a lot of times what people think is love is actually what we were talking about, the shadow. It's a bright shadow projection. You love people because they live out your unlived shadow material. So that's not really love, because as soon as that person shows him or herself to be a normal human being, then you're probably going to want to get out of that relationship and go fall in love with someone else.
Well, now, I find for myself, since we're just talking about me, of course, that when my heart is open, I can feel a tremendous amount of love to other people and places and things. When my heart is starting to close, is protecting itself, sometimes it's hard for me to feel that love.
Yeah. Yeah, what I want to talk about jealousy, the emotion of jealousy, when we love people, we actually open up our sense of personal boundaries and invite them in. And people get really upset if they feel jealous about something, and I say, well, wait a minute. That person that you love is a part of your social network and your social capital. If that person is threatened or their care for you is threatened, yes, you're going to get jealous. Jealousy is going to come up and say, hey, what's going on? Someone has been invited into your heart? And is this person behaving in a, you know, in a loyal and appropriate way? But yeah, if you can't open your heart, it's hard to love people. And to love means to be able to open your heart. And for many people, that's just too scary.
Did you ever hear the acronym for love?
No.
I always enlighten people. L is for listen.
Uh-huh.
O is for overlook. Z is for voice control. And E is for encouragement. L-O-V-E.
Oh, cool.
So, one more question, because I know they're going to be throwing us off the air pretty soon.
Okay.
What would you tell people who are suffering through difficult emotions right now? And this is a great way to summarize, you know, the whole show.
First, they're not alone. Our emotions are extremely strong, and it's very easy to just be knocked down by them. But I also would ask them to remember that they are in charge of their emotions, not in a, you know, admiral emotion way where you slap them down, but that you have control over how you respond to your emotions. So turning toward the emotion, as I teach people to do, to say, anger, what do you want from me? Or depression, what is going on? Instead of feeling that you are depression or you are anger, remember that you're a separate being and that these emotions are a part of your intelligence. So you can turn toward them. All emotions will pass if you pay attention to them, except, of course, in actual emotional illnesses. I don't want to say that, you know, you can magically get rid of major depression. That needs help, you know, or major anxiety disorders. However, a helpful thing I learned is that if emotions don't move, that there's something wrong. They're supposed to move and change and flow. And if they don't and you're continually stuck in the same emotion, you know, day in and day out, it's time to seek help. Emotions are social. They are a part of our social capacities. But what's funny is that when we get into emotional trouble, we don't seek help. And it's important to reach out because there's so much really good help available now. There's so much research being done on emotions, and it's a lot better now than it was when we were young, I can tell you that.
Oh, I remember when we were kids that, feeling sad, here, have a cookie.
Yeah.
eat your emotions away. And for a lot of people, as adults, they're still doing this. You know, as a child, the child within is, you know, still doing it as an adult, and it's really sad. And probably a big problem of our obesity problem today is: are we eating our emotions away?
Mm-hmm.
Wow! I really love the fact that you're on our show, and I love you for writing this book, "The Languages of Emotions: What Your Feelings Are Trying to Tell You," by Carla McLaren. God bless you, and let's stay in touch, because I would love to have you back on again, because we didn't even touch a lot of these other questions that I had written down that I would love to talk again.
Thank you so much.
You take care, and I'll talk to you later.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So, what a powerful show, The Language of Emotions. So Dr. Vijay will be back next week. She tells me she will be, and I don't feel abandoned anymore. And I love the fact that my emotions are just part of me, and then I can let go of them, and I don't have to be defined by them. There's one, we have like another minute or so to call. Dr. Hannah Solomon, who is, if you notice that she does some advertising for Nasal Pure on our show, she sent me something. This is really interesting. Americans spend billions of dollars each year treating ear problems in children, much of it on doctor's visit, drugs, and surgery. Ear infections are the number one reason why children visit a doctor's office, and the number of children coming in with ear infections has risen over the past decade. Her answer is, this is interesting, their answer is the Nasal Pure. Doctors have given antihistamines to dry up secretion and decongestants to clear the passages, but there's side effects with the medications. But a simple, safe approach resolved through the Nasal Pure. You know, it's all connected with our sinuses. So I would suggest, we love it. We use it in our house, the Nasal Pure. It's a great way for allergies, sinusitis, and now with the children with ear infections. And it's time to go. The producer's giving me the go-home type of look. So I will say to everybody, I love you all, and I will see you and listen to you and hear you next week. Bye-bye now.
Thank you again for joining Dr. Vijaya Nair and Dr. Howard Piper for Kiss Your Life Hello. We'll return next Wednesday morning at 7 a.m. Pacific Time, 10 a.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Have a great week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.